Okay, we are beginning the shiur based on the pasuk Gochel Adal Chinoyam V'chol Nesivoy Seho Sholom. So Gochel Adal Chinoyam has, of course, a very beautiful ring to it in Machshava, but I am concentrating here, particularly in this shiur, in the way Adal Chinoyam is used lahalocha. What do you mean, Dachei Noyam used lahalocha? So we shall soon see. Chazal mentioned Dachei Noyam be'ikar in two places, in Maseches Yevamos and in Maseches Sukkah. And in Maseches Yevamos, we are dealing with an inyan of chalitza, and the question that is raised over there, you have in the first Rashi. I didn't bring the Gemara because Rashi, for our purposes, says everything we need. But the Gemara is that pei zayin omid beis in Maseches Yevamos. The question is here, a woman had a child. Right? So the Pasuk says, ki yeshvu achim yachdov, there were two brothers. Right? Uvein ein loy, one of the brothers does not have a son, and he died. Lasiya eshes hameis hachutza liyish zo, Yevama yovo eleo v'yibma. But if she had a child, of course, then there's no din of yibum. Now the question is, what happens if the child died? She had a child when he was nifter, and she got married to somebody, because she's now entitled to marry anybody. And then the child died. So the Gemara says, does she return to the original zika, to the yavam, if now it's bein ein lo? So the Gemara says, of course, no. And the reason that the Gemara gives is Drachei Adar Chinoyam. Let's read the Rashi on Drachei Adar Chinoyam. V'zu shahoyo lo bein v'loi niskako liyovam v'niseis lashuk means to just anybody umeis b'no im toima tachloitz. If you'd say that because she is now again zekuka, she should have a chalitza from the brother, and she continues being married l'cha'ayra to the new husband, but she has to have a chalitza. So harehi mizgana al ba'ala. Now we don't go here into the inyone yibum and chalitza and ask all kinds of questions, but the point that the Gemara makes is that she does not have the chalitza because of drachea darcheinoyam. Hilkoch al kochoch bein ein loy bishas misa ka'omar v'harei yesh loy. So I want to point out something very important b'nogeya, the use of drachea darcheinoyam. You have here a sha'ayla. When the pasuk says bein ein lo, he doesn't have a son, and he died, and he left a brother, and his wife is supposed to marry the brother. So the chakira is, when the pasuk said ubein ein loy, does it mean now, at this moment, when he died? So that if there's a son when he died, the whole parsha of Yibum doesn't exist? Or does it mean whenever there's not going to be a son? Because if the son dies, we're right back to the original problem of loisia eishes hameis, because yokum al shem ochiv hameis. So whatever the point of Yibum is, after the son dies, that point still exists. So how do we know how to interpret the pasuk ubein ein lo is the question. The question isn't what should the halacha be, and then we say, well, Darchei Noyam tells us what the halacha should be. Darchei Noyam can't tell you what the halacha should be. Darchei Noyam can only be used when you have a shaila how to understand the pasuk. So then you invoke Darchei Noyam. Let's go back and see the last words of Rashi, which makes the point very clearly. Hilkoch, since she'll be mizgana al ba'ala, if you ask her to have a chalitza from the brother, and she's now married to another person entirely, mizgana means it's going to be a bizayon for her. The husband is going to look bad at her. He's going to not have a good feeling about her. From the word gnus and gnai, she will be mevuza in the eyes of her husband. Husband doesn't like the idea that she's still somehow connected to that brother when she's married to him. Zika is a connection. So Hilchos al Karkach, therefore, when the Pasuk said Bein Ein Lo, it must mean Bishas Misa. Vare Yesh Lo. What the Gemara is saying, in other words, is as follows. Since we know that the Torah always looks for ways of pleasantry, and since there is now a question of A or B, and B we know will lead to great unpleasantness, Mistama, the Torah did not have that in mind. So therefore, when we come to ask the question, when Ubein Ein Lo, we have to say Bishas Misa is what determines it. When the husband, or the first husband, that makes her a Yavama, if she had a child, she's not a Yavama. Either child dies one day later, doesn't matter. Because if you're asking when is the Ubein Ein Lo Parsha of Yibum, you have to take into account the idea that the Torah must have meant that, because the alternative leads to tremendous unpleasantness. So again, I can't emphasize this point enough, that the way the pasuk is used here is not to teach me what I should think about halacha, that every halacha that I find in the Torah has to be pleasant in my eyes. There are many halachas that are very difficult. Very difficult. The whole parsha of Mamzerus. What are you going to say? Drachea darchei Noam, so let's dispense with all the parsha of Mamzerus. The Torah says it's a parsha of Mamzer. There's nothing more unpleasant than that he can't marry and he has a stigma for the rest of his life. That's what the pasuk says. Ra'isi dimas ha'ashukim, a pasuk in Kehelis ve'ein lohem menachem. What does it mean, ein lohem menachem? Who can comfort him? There's nothing you can do for him. And the only person that he can marry is either another Mamzer or a ger. And the fact of the matter is that you are not only stifling him, but he has that stigma that he comes from an illicit relationship. So why don't you say drachei darchei Noam and let's fix that. Let's change the halacha. You can't change what the Torah says. So it doesn't mean that the Torah is always darchei Noam, so therefore anything that goes against pleasantness as we understand it is going to be simply wiped away. Here the question is, how do you understand the pasuk? The pasuk is saying something which is flexible. It has two possibilities. Bein Ein Lo ever, or Bein Ein Lo now. So the question is, which of the two? We invoke Darchei Noam to say, Pashtus, if we have that suffix, it must mean the one that leads to pleasantness and not the one that leads to unpleasantness. Because we have a rule, Drachea Darchei Noam b'chol nesivot sehashal. Another example of this is in Masechta Sukkah. The Gemara wants to know about the different minim. How do I identify them? Because the pasuk says, "Lukachtem lachem bayom arishim priyetz hador kapas tomorrow manaf eitz avos va'arve nachal." So, the question is, what is anaf eitz avos? What is that? What is kapas tomorrow? What exactly does kapas tomorrow mean? So the Gemara says, "And daf lamid beis amar aleph amalei ravino leravashi mimay dahai kapas tomorrow dululava." Ema Chalusa. So the Gemara says, Be'ina Kapos Veleka. We'll soon see in Rashi. Ve'ema Ufsa Kapos Michlal De'ika Pirut. Ve'hai Kofus Ve'oimid La'olam. Ve'ema Kufra Amar Abaye Tocheh Adachei Noyam V'chol Nesiva Se'a Sholim Ksiv. Amar Le'rova Teisva L'ravina Ve'ema Tati Kapi D'tamli Kapas Ksiv. So the Gemara says that there are all kinds of possibilities which the Gemara rejects because it doesn't fit exactly the language of Kapos. So what are those examples? So Rashi goes one by one. Charusa, Ana Padekel, this is the branch of the tree, of the palm tree, Mishiniskasha, Shtei Shonim B'Sholosh, V'yoytzim boy lulavim harbe shenoshru aleihem v'niskashu gam heim v'nasu eitz zepona lekan v'zepona lekan ka'anfei shari lonos. He's talking about the actual hard branches of the tree. Now we know a lulav has a flexibility. You can bend it, you can shape it, you can turn it this way, that way. When you shuckle it, it's loose. Maybe it means the hard branch, like a branch of a tree, like you see outside the window here. So he says, no, it cannot be. Why? Because be'inan kapas, she'im hoya pirud yikvesenu, v'areze parud v'einata yochel ukvoysay. You look at the branches of a tree, you can't put the branches together with the trunk. You can't just push the branches back towards the trunk. They'll break off, they'll snap off, they're hard. and they do not lend themselves to be blended or tied together, right? Avim here means the trunk. So the Gemara asks, "Ve'ima ufsa?" That's a piece of wood. Me'ikar hadekel shulchalok ve'ein anaf yotzim imenu. So the Rashi says, "Well, wait a minute. So it's not a branch, but maybe it's from the trunk of the palm tree. So the trunk of the palm tree is straight; it doesn't have to be bent or pushed back together." So he says, "No, it can't be. Why not?" So he says, "Because it has to be something that first could be was separate, and you tie it together. In other words, if you take a regular lulav, you see the branches could spread out, right? Masha'in Kane here, nothing can spread. It's part of the trunk. It's like a steel rod. It doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't bend one way or the other that you have to put it together. It's put together automatically because it's part of the trunk." Anyhow, and so on and so forth. Finally, the Gemara asks, "Ve'ema kufra?" So Rashi says, "Hainu nami eitz ke'en charusa." But Rashi says, "Ve'ema kufra, hainu nami eitz ke'en charusa, ela adayin ben shono shtei shonim v'loinis ave eitzai. Bata yocho likfois anofof al yidei igud, ulezokfon lemalo lo'egdomim aviyem." He says, maybe, we said before that it can't be the branch of a tree. Why not? Because the branch is hard, and if you try to push the branch back towards the trunk, it'll simply snap off, or you won't be able to do it, one or the other. So Rashi says, why don't you take a young sapling of a palm tree, and then the branches are very fresh, and it is possible to push the branches. They're flexible enough that you could push the branches towards the trunk. So maybe it means those branches instead of what we are recognizing as a lulav. So the Gemara says, no, why not? Because when it's young, it has spikes. And the spikes, if you take it in your hand to be night to lulav, will cut your hand. You know what we're talking about? A rose bush, for example, type of idea. It's a palm tree. But in the early stages, it's like the rose bush. Because they're very, very sharp fronds. And what happens is that when you take it in your hand, you're going to cut your hand. So that's the mitzvah. No, it cannot be. Because drachea darchei noam ksiv. So Rashi says, drachea darchei noam, ve'elu asuyim kekoitzim, they're made like thorns, ve'yotzin bohem uktzin harbe, and a lot of little sharp points come out of it, u'misartin es hayodayim, and it cuts your hand when you take it. Somebody wants to smell a rose, and the branch of the rose has these sharp things coming out of it, and he takes it in his hand, he'll cut his hand. It will puncture his hand. So that is something that cannot be because drachea darchei noam. So what's the pshat? So again, the Gemara has a pasuk. The pasuk says in the Torah, kapos tmaru. We are looking for a precise identification for kapos. We know that tmaru means a palm tree. But what part of the palm tree? At what stage of the life of the palm tree? So the Gemara says, I can tell you one thing, the last line of the Gemara here, that it cannot be the early stage. Why not? Because if you're going to identify it as the early stage, it will be a violation of Darchei Noyam. So again here, if the Torah would have told you Befeirish, I want you to take the early stage of the palm tree, with no question about it, the Torah would define it, would precisely say, and when you take it, you'll cut your hands, so somebody will not be able to say, well, if that's the case, it can't be a mitzvah in the Torah. If the Torah says so, you do it. And if it hurts, it hurts. This is especially in the context of what we learned in the Maharal, but you don't need the Maharal for this. So what's the pshat? The pshat is when we're looking, when we don't know, and we have alternatives, and the possibility is a young or an old, and if it's old, it can't be a branch, because the branch is stiff. So maybe it's young, and it is a branch. No, because the young branch has thorns, and the young branch with thorns is going to cut your hand. And since there's an alternative explanation, which is our lulav, which doesn't cut your hand, so you have a choice to interpret it this way or this way, you are using the principle of drachea darchei noam to help you identify what the word kapos meant in the kapos tmarim of the pasuk. So you see that in both cases, what am I telling you? That in both cases, it's only to be able to identify when you have I wouldn't even use a suffix, because Lamaisa, there was a masoira what it was. But to explain how we got to that, the answer is because you imply with Darkei Noyam that it has to be pleasant. So if you have a choice of one possibility is pleasant, one possibility is not pleasant, to identify Kapis Tmarim. If you have a choice, what does it mean? Vain Ein Loy. Then or later, and you have a principle in both cases of Docher Darkei Noyam, it helps you identify what the Pasuk is trying to say. Take a look in the Sfas Emes. You see it?
In the case of the Chalitza, even if she was just pregnant, it's also Darkei Noyam. It's kind of, it doesn't apply. The Yibum doesn't apply. Brother dies and she's pregnant, so there's not even a live...
No, we're talking about the file. No. Bein Ein Lo means if she's expecting a child, it's the same thing, because she's going to have a child. The point is that if she had a child from that husband...
I understand, but...
And then he died.
So when is a child a child?
No, it's not... No. Uvein Ein Lo means that the point of Yibum is that you're not going to have any issue from that union. So instead you have an issue from the union of the brother. But what happens if there is a child?
So
then it doesn't apply. What happens if the child existed but then he died half a year later? So we don't know. Because the principle of it should... What would the general sense of it be? If the child dies... We're right back to square one, because that union did not have a permanent issue. There will not be anybody al shem ochiv hames, correct?
But there was for a certain time.
The Gemara says that l'chayra that shouldn't matter, because now the bottom line is that he doesn't exist. So it's a matzav today of bein ein lo. So the Gemara says no, it cannot be, because the pshat of bein ein lo has to be restricted to the moment of the brother's death. At that time, did he have a child or did he not have a child? So the answer is no, he had a child. Then there's no Yibum. There's no Yibum because he had a child. We don't care that the child dies later. Why not? Because you'll end up, if you insist on the alternative, that whenever the child dies, and she's already married to somebody, because if there's a child, there's no Yibum. If there's no Yibum, she couldn't marry the brother if she wanted to. It's forbidden. So she has to marry a stranger. So she marries a stranger, this almana, and now the child from that original marriage dies. So you're going to say there's now a Yibum idea? It can't be Yibum, she's married. But there could be Chalitza. But the Chalitza is going to make her miserable because the husband is going to be very upset. The current husband is going to be upset. So in that case, it will be a problem of Docher Darkei Noyam. So when we're asking, what is the pshat of this pasuk? Does it mean Bein Ein Lo at the moment of the death of the brother? Or Bein Ein Lo even if the child dies later? We opt for the interpretation of the moment of the brother's death, because that will never lead to the unpleasantness of her getting married, losing her son, and being nisgan al ba'alo with a chalitza. That's the Gemara. So look at the Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes says... Let's go down a few lines to Dibur Hamaskul Achei Nira. Achei Nira de Mehasam Laikasha Midi, the Otu Aminan Hocha, the Kol Midi, the Enoi Emes Vishalim, Pasul Mitzvah. He says, you're going to tell me that whenever the Torah says something, that you have to do something, you're going to check it out, does it fulfill Darkei Noam? He says, that cannot be. So he says, but what is it? Rak Hocha. The Torah kivna lemin echad. The Torah has in mind something called kapos tmarim. Supakim, we don't know what mahi. We're trying to explain which is it. Is it hados or hirduf? Al ze aminon de emes v'sholim ahavu. He quotes the pasuk emes v'sholim. We'll soon see. Ubevadei hakavona al hados, because that's the gemara by hados. We're talking about lulav. Aval hasam. So he says, we'll get tomorrow and we'll discuss that in a moment. The next paragraph. Im yiyah hadas echad im koitzim v'chadoyme im einoy mevat lahidur otu yipasul mitayma de emes v'shalom. He says, let's say for example that there would be a hadas that has all of the hidurim of hadas, and it would happen to have sharp edges. However it is, this hadas happens to have sharp edges. You wouldn't be able to use it? Of course he'd be able to use it. Because once it identified as a hadas, it doesn't matter whether it has sharp edges or not. Ah, you'll cut your hand. So that doesn't make any difference. Because it's not a principle that tells you when something is kosher or something is possible in Kol HaTorah Kula. It's only when you need to identify what the Torah had in mind that you can invoke this principle. It's exactly what the Sfasemis says. It's almost like Midas Chatur in the Dreshes, but that's correct.
It's not an absolute. In other words, when it's
correct. When we have a shaila of how to go, we go with the derech that leads to Drachea Darchinayim. When we don't have a shaila of how to go, we don't apply it at all. It's very interesting because so far so good, but you'll see that it's not so simple at all. Now, going back to that Gemara in Sukkah, right, there's another Gemara. And that's the Gemara by Hadas. Sukkah Lamed Beis Omid Beis. Okay, the first Gemara is on Lamed Beis Omid Aleph, deals with the identification of the Lulav, Kapis Tmarim. Deals with the identification of Hadas. What's the Pasuk in the Torah that speaks about Hadas? Anaf Eitz Ovos. Right? So the Gemara says, Hadas, the Eima Zaysa. Maybe we're talking about a Zayas. Because the Torah doesn't use the word hadas or its equivalent. It identifies it by its shape, by its simonim, but it doesn't give you its name. So the Gemara says, well, maybe those simonim fit the zayis, and maybe what you're supposed to have in your dalet minim is zayis, not hadas. The inon avos v'leka. You need avos. It doesn't have eight avos. V'leka. V'eima dulba. You need that the leaves should go around the branch, like you see in the Hadas. Veleka, the Eima Hirduf, this is what we need to know. What about the Hirduf? So Rashi says, Hirduf kamin kliya asuyin olav. It's a certain kind of a branch that has these thorns around it like a rose bush. It can't be a min that is made with thorns because does not allow us to identify it if we have a shaila what it is. Anaf Eitz Ovos could be A or B. It can't be B if it has thorns. This pasuk, by the way, is very, very relevant to this week because the pasuk in Zechariah Perek Ches speaks about the four tzaymos that the Chachomim were metaking, which are the tzaym of Tisha B'Av, and that is in what month?
Av.
Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, the fifth month. That's the tzaym of Hamishi. The tzaym of Revi, Shiva Asa B'Tammuz. The tzaym Siri, which is this week, exactly, Asara B'Teves, and of course Tzayim Gedalia, which is in the seventh month, counting from Nisan. So right after that it says, Yihyu L'Sasayin L'Simcha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that these Tzaymas will turn into days of great rejoicing. However, on condition, the end of the Pasuk is, V'ha'emes V'ha'shalayim E'havu. So the Mefarshim say, providing that you do your share, and that when will it turn into Sasna Simcha? When you, Klal Yisrael in its entirety, love both Emes and Shalom. Which of course, Be'etzim are contradictory midos in a sense, because Emes sometimes interferes with Shalom, and sometimes Shalom interferes with Emes. Emes u'mishpat Shalom shiftu b'shareichem. So you have this idea that Shara, because that makes Shalom, and Emes is the din itself. But whatever it is, if you have Emes v'Shalom Mehavu, you'll be Zaycha that these Tzaymas, which reflect Churban, will turn into days of great rejoicing, because it will reflect the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So that's the Poshup Shad of the Pasuk. So how does Rava use that Pasuk in Zechariah B'Noigea Ar Inyan? The answer is, because it has to be something that is peaceful. So it's very interesting. They're both using a pasuk which indicates that there is a positive, pleasant, peaceful outlook which allows us to identify which min we're talking about. One would wonder, what is the difference? Why is Rava getting excited? What's wrong with Rachel Dachei Noyam that he needs Vahemes Vashalom Vahavu and vice versa? Like, why are they quoting two separate psukim? Rashi says, Rachel Dachei Noyam, V'hai Mivriz Boriz Es Hayodayim Kekoitzim Shrashay Olav Asuyin Chadin Kemachat. He says that the leaves that come up on this hirduf are so sharp, they're so thorny, that they are definitely going to cut your hand. And therefore, it's not Dachei Noam. In other words, what Rashi says about the hirduf, Lugabe Dahados, is the same as what Rashi said earlier of the Kapis Tmarim, that it can't be a Kufra, it has to be the Lulav that we know and love. So, Rava says, O Emes Vasholim Havu, he says an interesting thing. The ze einoy loy emes veloy shalom shehu osui lisam hamavas. So Rashi here was answering our question. What's the difference which pasuk we are using if the point is exactly the same? So he says, no, it's not the same. In the one, it's what you hold in your hand is cutting your hand. The other man, the Omer, says, no. What is it? It's that when you are going to use the min, it has to be a min that arouses in you thoughts of pleasantness, even if it doesn't cut your hand. Because the thing itself is used as a poison, and something that's used as a poison inherently is looked upon in a negative sort of way. So why should the Torah suggest that you should use this in a time of great simcha, when in fact you could be using a different min, and that satisfies what words? Anaf Eitz Avos. So again, if you have a suffix, what Anaf Eitz Avos is referring to, don't imagine that it refers to a min, although it seems that it has the right simonim, but it's a poison. So Rava says because it's a poison, and Abaye says because it cuts your hand. What's the difference between the two now is very reasonable. Rava says that the thing inherently arouses in you thoughts of unpleasantness, but Abaye says, no, you need that b'shas maisa, in the maisa mitzvah, you have the unpleasantness. So if it doesn't cut your hand, what it does elsewhere is irrelevant. I'm not eating it. I'm not feeding it to my animals. I'm just holding it. Holding it will do me no harm. So that's why Abaye says, it's the thorns, b'shas the netila, that makes the problem. But Rava says it's a much bigger problem, or a different problem. Nafkamina is, even if it doesn't have any thorns, then you'd still be eliminating the hirduf min, because it's a sam hamadis. So now, Tosfos disagrees. Look at the last three lines of the Tosfos right after Rashi. Elahainu v'loy choshev loy noyam v'loy shalom v'fi sherashei olav chadin v'uktsin es hayadayim. Right? V'uktsin es hayadayim. What are they asking about? First of all, you see clearly that Tosfos does not agree with Rashi. Tosfos puts Abaye and Rava in the same level. They are both talking about how sharp the thorns are and that they will cut your hands. Except that Abaye uses the pasuk of Drachea Darcheinaya, and Rava uses the pasuk of Emes Vashalom Behovu, but they're saying the same thing. Mashaiket, according to Rashi, they're saying very different things. According to Rashi, the one who says Rachel Dachei Noyam is referring to the thorns, and it's going to cut your hand while you take the lulav, because the hadasim are not hadasim, they're hirdufs. And hirdufs are very sharp, and they're going to puncture your hand when you hold it. Rava says, never mind that they puncture your hands. Maybe they won't puncture your hands. Maybe you'll be careful, or maybe that's not an issue. But what is the problem with hirduf? Hirduf cannot be the min that the Torah identifies for a different reason. It's a poison. That's Rashi. Tulsa says, forget about poison. It has nothing to do with being a poison. They both say, because it cuts your hands. One uses this pasuk, one uses that pasuk. What is it, Nageya? Because it's very interesting. There's a Gemara in Psochem Daflamites that identifies the different meaning that we can use for Mora. on Pesach night. So you know that there are five minim that we are familiar with, and beginning with Tamcha and ending with Mara. And then the Gemara says that according to different mandiyamrim, there are other minim that also qualify as Mara. So the Gemara discusses the Hardufni. That's this Hirduf. What the Gemara is wondering about, whether it's an equivalent to a Hadas, Lagabi Lulav, the Gemara in Psachim speaks about it as a food, which you're going to eat the night of Pesach to satisfy which mitzvah? The mitzvah of Mara. Al Matzis Imrorim Yochluhu. Right? So he says, it says in Perikol Shoa, Gabe Mora, the Kochoshev, Hirdufni, Gabe Yerokos, Sha'odam Yotze Bo, Bahen Yedei Chai Vasei BePesach. Right? That's what he says. So he says, if Hirduf is the Hirdufni, and that's if it's a poison, of course, doesn't mean it's a poison that people die from, because then you can't eat it for Mora, because you won't be able to finish your Dalit Kaisis. But if a person is not eating the Mora, if it's not a poison for man, it's only a poison for behemoth, it doesn't affect man. So then the Gemara says, you're able to use it for Mara. So Tosfos says, just a moment. According to Rashi, the moment it's a poison for behemoth, you can't use it for a mitzvah. And since there also it's a question of which min satisfies Mara, so why do they allow that min? It's not what? Ha'emes v'hashalom ha'havu. So says Tosfos, you see from that Gemara that they were perfectly satisfied to use, if the Hirduf Hirdufni is the same thing, they're perfectly satisfied to use it for Maror, even though it's a Sam of a behemoth. What happened to Emes HaSholem Ha'avu? Why doesn't Gemara ask that kasha? Then how come you can use the Hirdufni for Maror? It's a Emes HaSholem Ha'avu problem. So you see from here that that's not the issue. The fact that it's a Sam for a behemoth is irrelevant. It's that when you take it in your hands, one mandiyama says it's a problem because you cut your hands of Abaye, of Rechel Dachinoam, says Tosos, and the other mandiyama Rava says a different pasuk, but it's because you're cutting your hands when you take the loaf. Not because Lagabi Behemoth it's a sam. Who cares if it's a sam for Behemoth? Since when is that such a big deal? That's the Tosos. So the Mefarshim point out that there's a very big difference between Maror and Lulav. But what is the Nakuda is a machloikas in the Achrayim. One mandiyama says that it's to answer Rashi, that even though for Lulav it's no good because it's a sam for a behemoth, in Maror it will work, and you'll able to eat it as Maror, even though it's a sam for a behemoth. In other words, in Maror it's not a problem according to Rav of Emes HaSholem Ha'avu, even though by Lulav it is a problem because it's sam ha-behemoth. Why? So the Sfas Emes says, I would almost use the word technical reasons, because he says like this: we're not asking which is the one and only min of Maror, because we know already that there are at least five different minim of Mara. Everyone's masking to that. So we just want to know if this could be added to the list. So, added to the list, does it have the qualifications of Mara? Yeah. So the Torah is not forcing you to eat this. If the Torah is forcing you because it's the one and only, because that's the identification label, like Bayanaf Eitz Savois, it's the Hirduf and only the Hirduf, then you're telling me that every time I'm going to take a lulav, I'm going to cut my hands, it's not mistaber. But if I have 5 minim, 6 minim, 10 minim of Mara, and one of them happens to be a sam behema, so what? The Torah is not forcing you to eat a sam behema. That arouses thoughts of unpleasantness in your head. Since the Torah gives you alternatives, this can also be included. It's only when it's the one and only that it's a problem and it's rejected because of Darkei Noyam or because of Emes V'Hashalom. That's the Sfas Emes' teretz. Others answer a different teretz. Mara itself is supposed to arouse thoughts of bitterness. So what does it bother you? If you remember it's Sama Mavis for a behemoth, maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's even a Hindu mitzvah. We don't mean that seriously, but Lemaisa, in the case of Kapis Tmorim, which is a Zman Simchaseinu, and you're supposed to have good feelings and pleasant thoughts, then you understand something that Sam Behema doesn't make you feel very good about it. But when you're talking about Marer, Adarabba, it's supposed to feel bitter. That's the whole point. So if you think that this thing that I'm eating, if a behemoth would eat it, it would die. So maybe that makes you good and scared and makes you understand and appreciate what the Marer's Chayayim was all about. Just Derech Agav, I wanted to tell you the Zayde Zechon Levocha that Moshe Menachem Spiegel used to tell us a Meir Dikemais. Apparently in Hasidic lore there's a story that the Sochachover, who was the son-in-law of the Kotzke Rebbe, right? So they were eating the Seder together. The Kotzke was at the head of the table. And as you know, in certain Tkufis especially, the Kotzke was capable of going into reveries. He would stop whatever he was doing and he would go into the Olam Hashel Yoinim. And he would, in a certain sense, not be there anymore, even if he was physically present. But his mind was elsewhere. No, you know very well that the clock is ticking away the night of the Seder, because you have to finish before Chatzos. So now what happened was, they ate the matzah, and it came time for the Marer. If he doesn't start with the Marer, they can't start with the Marer on their own. That's not Shaila. It's not possible. So they were trying to figure out an Eitzah of how to make that happen. And there's no such thing as saying revenue or tata. The clock is ticking. You just can't do that. There's certain things. You understand? In a regular household, you could say that. But not with the Kotzke. So the Sochachover figured out a Chochmah. Now, everybody knows the background for this, obviously. Everybody knows that Bisman Hazeh, Matzah is Midyaraisa. Because there's an extra Pasuk besides the Pasuk of Karban Pesach. In the Pasuk of Karban Pesach, it says, Al Matzahs Umerorim Yochlu. When there's no Karban Pesach, that Pasuk doesn't apply. But there's another Pasuk that doesn't speak about Karban Pesach. It says, Ba'erev Tochlu Matzahs. The problem is it doesn't say Ba'erev Tochlu Morah. So the only place in the Torah where it mentions Marer is only in the context of the Karban Pesach. Turns out, therefore, that Matzah Bizman Hazeh is Doiraisa, says the Gemara Pesachim, and Marer Bizman Hazeh is only Midirabon. So the Sochachover gave out a yell, Marer Doiraisa. Such an interesting thing, what would make the Kotzke come out of his reverie? Something that's not true. A halacha that's not so. So the Kotzker all of a sudden heard him. What? Mora deraisa, mora derabana. So the Sochachover, this is all from the Zeger. The Sochachover says, aber derabanan geben nicht die Mora. The Rabbanan don't give the Mora. So he looked at the Mora that was in front of him, and he lifted it up, and he threw it at them. And he said in Yiddish, not Eich, Morer Fresser. You know what that means, Morer Fresser? Fressen means to eat in a very voracious and uncouth way. Like when you're ravenously hungry, you gobble it up. So say, you're Morer Fresser, go ahead, eat it. So well, that's the end of the story. What's the pshat of this story? What is this story telling us? So I'll tell you the pshat. I think I have the pshat. Kotzke was midas ha'emes. What Mora represents, nobody could want it. Not even if it's postponing the mitzvah. But you can't ask for it. Because how could you ask for vayamoras chayeyim b'chom avulvein? If you're asking for it, it's a simen that there's something missing in your sense of what the Mora represents. So then you're just eating Mora. Just eating Mora, thus is Mora fresh. I think that lies behind this whole idea that we're saying today. In Mora, there is no problem with having these negative feelings. Because it just reinforces what you're supposed to get out of the Mora. Mora zeh she'anu ochlim al krim ma. It's not a philosophy. It's a feeling. It's a hergesh. It's like I always tell everybody that I can't get past page 2 in any Holocaust book. I can't. It's not that I don't want to. It's not that I don't want to know the facts. It's not that I don't want to know the history. It's that I break down. I can't be soivel. I can't tolerate past page two. That's what he was saying about Marah. So you can't ask for Marah. There's no such thing as asking for it. All right, that's an extremely sensitive and high madrega, you understand. If it happened to us, there's nothing wrong with asking for the Marah. But that's what the Gemara says over here. Legabe Lulav doesn't have that issue. On the contrary, it's supposed to be pleasant. But Marah doesn't have that problem. Now, in the Aruch Laner, he says something very interesting. He wants to know, why doesn't Rashi feel that it's a chesaron of ha'emes v'hashalom nehavu that you're cutting your hands, like Tosfos? So I would have answered very simply. Because if you have two separate psukim, right? And they're both kaileya to the same point. Is Rava so upset with drachar dachay noyan that he has to quote a pasuk emes hashalom nehavu? And vice versa. It's like a strange machloikis. Abayama Ravama. Was it competition? Which pasuk you can quote? So Rashi said, it's not the point. The point is they're two different issues. If the problem is that I cut my hands during doing the mitzvah, then Rava would also have quoted which pasuk. But Rava is saying that before you even get to it, it can't be that min. Why? Because since it's a samba ema, you cannot use it. It should not be the min that the Torah identified, because it arouses in you thoughts of negativity when the Torah is emes and shalom. Samba movis is not emes and shalom. So, you know, we take off the sakinim from the table, things like that. There are certain things that you just, they identify you with negative, with antagonistic, pessimistic and just plain bad thoughts. So that's what he's saying. It's sama mobis. That's a chesaron emes hashalom v'havu. But take a look at Rashi. The Aruch Laner. L'aniyaz daidu l'nichol Rashi l'farish kein. Demach chesaron emes shalom yesh ha'ikit tzasei yodayim. He says that's not a chesaron of emes v'shalom. He's going the opposite. That if you're looking at the pasuk emes v'shalom, that should not even apply to oikit tzayadayim. I asked the question differently. Why is he arguing with Abaye? What's wrong? The Gemara in Yevamos doesn't have Abaye and Rava. Aval l'mash apirish Rashi mipnei shu sam amavas de beheima. But zes svirale. Kivan shechais the emes chaisamay shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'shalom shmai shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says that Sam Behema is a chesaron of Emes and Shalom, which are the archetypical simonim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his chosam and his name. Very interesting. The fact that Shalom Yishmoy Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a lot of ramifications in halacha. You know, a person has a belt, a buckle, and it has the word Shalom on it. It's very common that people buy these belt buckles that have Hebrew words on it, sometimes their name, sometimes the word Shalom. Sometimes Shalom is because of his name. But Sam Shalom, like in Israel, Shalom. So the question is, can you go into the bathroom with that? So, you know, my father, Zolzayin Gesunden Shtag, he gets deliveries from a certain grocery store that happens to advertise their store on the plastic bags that the groceries come in. You know, those inexpensive shopping bags. So it has the name of the store with the phone number and everything, and it says that they cater various things. Including the things that they cater, they write in Hebrew, Shalom Zohar. So my father cuts out every single one of those. He cuts out the word Shalom and he puts it into Shabbos. Shalom Zohar. The son? So anyhow, so this is a Zahirus, maybe a Zahirus Yaseira perhaps, but the fact of the matter is that it's Shmoy Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Question is, when it's not used in that sense, such as in the case of Shalom Zohar, or where a person's name is involved, a boy's name, so then the question is, does it have that same chumrah? So the tshuvas that talk about that issue.
I remember that, so to say, you're talking to someone who believes in Shalom, and a bathroom or a bathhouse teacher slurred the last
Yeah, that's a similar issue. That's correct. It's a similar issue.
Some say on the letter you should write it and abbreviate it.
That's where you have that. Some people write shalom with a dash between the vav and the mem, or a stroke after the vav, they leave the mem out altogether. It's all the same idea. Now, until now, we've built up a binyan. It's already 11:05 to build this binyan, but I just wanted to continue Bezus Hashem next time. I don't want to give it short shrift. But until now, we've come up with a certain yesod. What's the yesod? That the Docher Adar Chenoyam is not something which is used in a certain sense a priori to impose itself on Torah values or Torah ideas. Because we want everything to turn out all right and nice and pleasant in our eyes. So when is it used? The answer is, as a tool, when we have a need to identify something or to explain a pasuk, then we can infer, if we have to go to the right or to the left, in two possible pshatim, that we should rather go this way because this way is more likely. Since we have a question of how to go, we have a suffix, we say this way is more likely because generally the Torah wants drachah adar chenoyam. As a general rule, it's so. That's what the pasuk is telling me in Mishlei. Drachah adar chenoyam v'chol nesivo se'ashom. But it never imposes itself meikara. Right? That's the point.